I don't just reverse the cough button.
Don't use the cough button. Whatever you do, press on.
I really just turn my microphone on to cough and then turn it off.
Yeah. You know, the on is Klingon for cough. So just, all right. Bleep, bleep, bleep. All right, 503-733-2970. Okay. We can't start laughing again. 503-733-2970. And so forth. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. All right, coming up here, just a few. We'll talk to. No, I was just. Well, never mind. All right. We'll talk to Jim Roop here in just a few. And then we have Tim Riley returning from the Ministry of Truth. Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. I would be remiss if I did not report. I was just telling Sarah during the break, though, that I said that you may not want to know this, but there are. And she's not the only one, by the way. There are more than one. There is more than one. But there are a couple, because, you know, there's we were talking about this guy, the MySpace guy. The guy who was flirting with you via MySpace, who wrote to the whole, "Dear Sarah, I like women who are aggressive, and looks are not as important as a woman." What is it he wanted to, let me.
Power, he likes power. He'll always choose power over looks.
"Enter my world of passion," and blah, blah, blah. And then Aaron got a very similar letter, and so forth. But I was saying that I get any number of letters from women who I think are afraid to email you directly. That's the weird thing about it. I think they're afraid, like, they go through me to get to you. I get a lot of women who email me about the huge crushes that they have on you. And I think it's like that they don't, I won't use any names, that I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I think it's, I don't know, I think that they're a little intimidated to approach you about it. So, I don't know, I think you've got some weird power thing that chicks find hot. I think that you got, it's because you're kind of, how do we put this? We could
manly.
I wasn't going to say that at all. In no way was I going to say that you're manly. Yes, you and this woman in the newspaper is Clyde. No, I was going to say you're kind of a magnet for lesbians, and you know that that's true. There's some.
I have many lesbian friends.
I have had lesbians in my home. I don't even know what I'm doing here. What is this? This is, let's see, Ryan. You're at hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Yeah. So I just had a funny stolen car story for you that makes even less sense than yours.
Okay.
My friend had his 4x pickup Toyota stolen from his apartment, and when they found it, it was abandoned in the forest, and they had stolen his wheels and tires and his front seats. And then replace them all with other wheels and tires and front seats.
That's hilarious. What? Well, that implies that there's some domino daisy chain of seat stealing happening somewhere.
So they stole the ones that he had and then replaced them with worse ones to go for buying.
See, that doesn't even. This is. Oh, God. I don't. If you missed this, we were talking about this earlier, and then I put it out of my mind. We didn't discuss it during the news hour. But so, you know, my truck got stolen, I don't know, a few weeks ago, right before the Christmas break. And it's the third time that it's been stolen in a year. And they finally. I got the call from the cops this morning, right before the show, that they found my truck, but it's missing the seats. I mean, the seats are. Why in the name? It doesn't even make any sense. What are they even doing with seats? Is there a market for black? You know, some sort of a market for stolen Toyota 4Runner seats that I'm not aware of? It just makes no sense at all.
Well, and what was great was when they got there, all four tires that they had replaced were flat, and it was wedged between two trees.
Fantastic. I mean, that's almost like they just, like, they're criminals, but they're also strangely creative. They're just trying to find a way to screw with you just a little bit. All right, thank you. That's Ryan. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I love LA. From the city where auto theft is an elective in high school, it is Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Hello, sir.
Hey, did they find your car? Is that what you were talking about?
Oh, did they?
Did they ever? They found part of it. I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this morning, and I admirably kept my composure together, and I did not dwell on this. I actually, after about 3 or 4 minutes, was able to steer the conversation back to politics for Lisa's benefit. Let me ask you this, Jim Roop. I guess I have now again because they found it, and the best part is that I get to pay like $300 to have it towed back to my house. where I will then be able to do nothing with it except have it as some sort of a large exotic paperweight. Let me ask you this. If I was to put a 1988 Toyota 4Runner in front of you and ask you what out of this thieves would possibly steal after having stolen the truck itself, like as they're getting ready to drop the truck off in an area here that we call Felony Flats, which is where a lot of stolen vehicles are abandoned, what's the one thing you think that they would steal before going?
I would say the radio, depending upon what kind it was.
No, it's just, it's a factory in-dash, the bad, there's nothing. The radio's worth like $5.
I have no idea.
They stole the front seat.
Is it a bucket seat or bench seat?
It's a bench seat. They stole the front bench seat out
maybe
of the
truck. Maybe they used a couch.
Yeah, I know. That's, but I'm seeing, it makes no sense at all.
That's all they took?
That's all they took. The cop's like, no, everything. And the cop was trying to position it to me. He was like trying to, he was trying to position it as like a big victory for me. He's like, no. Other than that, the vehicle's completely fine. Other than the fact that it can't be driven. I'm effectively going to have to put lawn seats in my truck now. I'm going to have to get bad, webby lawn furniture.
Cool. Yeah. You got to do that.
I mean, why don't they just keep it?
You
got to
do that. That's great.
I mean, presumably the seatbelts are still there, right? I mean, the seatbelt is probably there. The little fastening thing is still there. Is there some law says I can't just put in some $1.99 the lawn furniture from Ralph's?
Have to duct tape those steel legs down, though.
The tubing.
Yeah, you'd have to duct tape those down.
I guess it doesn't even make any sense. The whole is just completely absurd. I mean, as I was saying it earlier, it's like somebody who just goes around and steals rearview mirrors. It's like somebody who just goes around and only steals the driver's side rear hubcap. You know what I mean?
That's pretty weird.
It's completely arbitrary. So there you go. So no matter, I've come to believe that my life exists only to provide a sort of relativism and context for others. So no matter what happens to you this weekend, your car has seats. Mine doesn't. And I mean, and the guy tagged the phone call with it. Because I get the phone call this morning, I got my voicemail, and I recognize the Portland police number now because this is, the truck's been stolen 3 times. And I call back, and the cop says, So, by the way, I want to let you know, we found your Toyota 4Runner. You can come pick that. Of course, they've impounded it at hundreds of dollars a day, so I've got that to look forward to. And then I got to get it. And, of course, I can't drive it. That's the thing. I can go pick it up and then pay hundreds of dollars to have it towed because I can't. And, of course, they never impound it, like, near where you live. They always impound it, like, 100 miles away. Some guy, some barn in Idaho somewhere. So I'm talking to the guy about it, and the guy says, so, yeah, you can come pick that up anytime. Just bring proof of insurance with you. Oh, there's no seats. <That's>, and I said, and I was ready to hang up. I'm like, hey, I'm like, what? What? Yeah, there's no seats. You won't be able to drive it. Have a good day now. And that's it. So there you go. That's my day for you, Jimbo.
Oh, jeez, man. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's
all right.
Terrible.
I've become pretty zen about the whole thing. I realized that this is just paying off some karma from something or other.
Good golly.
Oh, God. Well, let's talk about something that always puts a smile on my face, and that something is O.J. Simpson.
Woo-hoo.
Hey, so, now is it... There are 2 stories in a row here. One, this story came out, 2 days ago. They said that there's O.J. Simpson book, the If I Did It, or the I Did It and Here's How I Did It, or the I'm a Money-Grubbing, Murdering Bastard, and Here's Exactly How I Became That.
Those are all subtitles.
Those are subtitles. That's a contest I never even got to have because the book was off the market before I could even have the audience weigh in on subtitles for the book. So I heard that first it was the rights revert back to him and he's going to put it out like next Christmas. But then I heard that like he can't even get any money from it now.
Well, at least until the 24th of this month. What happened was a judge yesterday, another lawsuit filed by, actually it's sort of the same lawsuit regurgitated by Fred Goldman. A judge looked at that and said, we need to figure this thing out because apparently, while we're not told how much, O.J. Simpson has been paid some money from HarperCollins.
Well, it's like some third party.
Yeah, well, Fred Goldman's claiming that it's this phony company made up of the middle names of his youngest children,
right?
This phony corporation. And so the judge says, look, Simpson, you can't spend a dime of that money until I figure this thing out. And they're going to meet again on the 24th. Now, the judge can do a couple of things here. He can say, this can go to trial because this money needs to be paid to the Goldman family or the Brown family, and therefore we're going to go to trial and make this thing happen. Or he can just say, I have no grounds for holding on to this money. While it may be fishy, this corporation, it still went through some sort of legal channels. It was done right. Either of those two things is going to happen, we won't know until the 24th. Meanwhile, I consider this, and I'm sure Fred Goldman does too, as a semi-victory of sorts, because at least finally someone's saying, let's take a closer look.
Yeah, seriously. O.J. Simpson, he really is, he's just this endless cornucopia of entertainment, because just when you think that there's no more mileage to be gotten out of that guy in terms of the news, something like this happens.
He has become a caricature of himself. He really has.
Well, the weird thing about O.J. Simpson, and you are undoubtedly aware of this, is that it is impossible to remember a time when he was just a football player that everybody liked.
Yeah, except for the fact that USC is around here.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's the only thing that, I don't remember he's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, no.
What I remember was that he played football at USC and he had number 32. That's the same number he had when he went to the Bills.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. I don't remember seeing him play at all.
No.
I know that I have, but I don't remember that. I more remember him sitting in a courtroom because for God only 9 months or however the hell long that was, I sat in that stupid courtroom looking at him.
You think about how much of your life, how many minutes closer to death you are because of sitting there and staring at O.J. Simpson.
Oh, my gosh.
And here's the thing is, I remember even absurd details. I remember the tie he had on. I remember the stupid color of the suit he was wearing.
We used to comment. We sit there in the journalist pool. We'd just comment on the suits worn by, what's his name, the dead guy?
Cochran.
Yeah. He had a purple suit on. You know, he'd have some sort of maroon suit on. You know, and just wild.
No, it's insane.
And Shapiro and Kardashian and all those guys sitting there, and the stupid hairdos that Marcia Clark would come up with every couple of weeks. You'd change your hair. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I remember. I don't remember him, you know, being a giant football star of any kind.
Hey, let me ask you this: did Marcia Clark kind of look like a lizard up close?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, she had that face. You wait for that tongue to go. Just never happened.
Waiting for her to devour a guinea pig. Waiting for her to unhinge.
Talking and all of a sudden snap a fly right out of the air. Never happened.
Just unhinge a jaw and put down a small pig.
Or it may have happened, but it was so quick we never really.
Well, that's the thing. You got.
We did miss two small jurors. Maybe hey, that's what happened to
us. That's the thing about lizards. You got to keep your eye on lizards. They're fast. Got to watch them every moment. God damn. Hey, this is the sort of thing I care about.
She had nice legs, though.
No, did she really?
Yeah.
Better.
Yes,
let me ask you this. Of the celebrities...
They were better than Sandra Oh's, no.
I would... Well, that was going to be my question. Sarah and I were talking about this, actually. They did about Sandra Oh and her legs and so forth. Of the female celebrities that you have had the chance to observe up close, where would you rank... let's see. Top three sets of female celebrity legs.
Oh, jeez. Most of them are too skinny.
Yeah, no,
Most of the legs are way too skinny. I would say... that's a good question.
Now, don't tell me you haven't thought about it. I know you've assembled this list later.
Yeah, my brain just went, just snapped shut.
What about Cameron Diaz?
That's too skinny.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She has no, there's no curve to her.
No, legs are way, they're pins, they're sticks.
They're just little bird legs.
There's no calves or anything.
Yeah,
no. You gotta look for some shape there, you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, Jim Rupp.
Well, and plus, when I see them at these award shows, most of them are wearing long dresses.
You know,
it's hard to get a real good look at the gams, you know what I'm saying?
The gams.
Yeah.
The stems.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Maybe the Golden Globes will say, hey, lift that up, let's take a look.
No, see, it's...
yeah, that'll go over really well.
Well, I might actually watch then. I might pay attention to the Golden Globes. You know what I mean? If they gave...
It would be worth risking credentials to yell that out and see if anybody... It would. If it wasn't a network, if it was a local radio station, I'd do that.
You just get one of those voice disguisers, so they can't get something that makes you sound like Nancy Grace. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Scream that out. Hey, well, think on it, because I know you have assembled that list late at night in your head many times, just like I have. I have a separate list actually, but
you know who does have great legs? Is Jessica Simpson.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. She is, as they say, a curvy woman.
Yeah, very nice. I gotta go into the... I think it's the music people are going to have better legs than most of the movie or the TV and movie folks.
I'm guessing that Rose McGowan has great legs.
Never saw him.
Rose McGowan, she was married to Marilyn Manson for a while. or they were at least they were together for a while. She was in. I don't even know if she does. Oh, here's another one. I bet Brittany Murphy. And I would also say Kate Winslet. I would almost guarantee you Kate Winslet's got nice legs.
Yeah, well, she's got meat on her, too, so that's probably why.
It's true. Sarah's giving me that arched eyebrow that indicates that perhaps you and I are crossing some sort of...
Okay, this is conversation over beers.
We're crossing into some sort of creepy zone.
That's not creepy.
I wouldn't think so either, Jim.
Lift up your dress and let me take a look at them.
Did I say that? Were those my words? I don't think so.
That's what you just said, Jim Rube.
Roll that tape back. I never said that. I'll deny it to the day I die.
Hey, speaking of I never said that, Lisa Goddard this morning, it was pretty great. A, she made a reference to the movie DC Cab starring Mr. T.
You're lying.
I'm not. I am not. I was talking about it because it's what I do. I was lamenting my stolen vehicle to her. And I was talking about how this stupid freaking truck has been stolen 3 times in 1 year. And it's not just that I live in a bad neighborhood, although I do. It's been stolen from at least 2 different... Because the second time it was stolen... I'm going to be too specific, but it was stolen from my wife's place of business, which is... it's a federal facility with its own police force. And, I mean, it was stolen from there. And so Lisa was noting that perhaps there's just... She was noting that it was, you know, that it had some sort of a talismanic quality, DC cab style. And there was a bunch of guys chasing it around trying to fetch up, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so she was referencing DC cab, which was fantastic. And so
I'm liking her more and more.
Yeah, just when I thought that the conversation couldn't get any better, she actually used the phrase, piss off. She said, well, of course, Nancy Pelosi realizes that there's a large middle base who hasn't formed an opinion on her, so the Democrats can't afford to piss off those people, which is great. I mean, it's just the sort of thing
hey.
That sets this show from merely tolerable to fantastic.
It's a common man speech, baby.
That's what I'm saying. This is a show for the people. By, of, and for the people. There is one final thing here, and this is exactly the kind of story I love. Who even knew that this existed? I bet Lisa would be a member of this, actually. The American Dialect Society.
I'm waiting on the white smoke to come wafting out of the Anaheim Convention Center.
That's a good reference.
Yeah.
The American Dialect Society will pick the word or phrase of the year. Now, is this the word or the phrase that's got to go away, or is this the
no,
best
No, this
word?
Is one that it gained some prominence over the past year. Like, in 2005, it was truthiness.
Oh yeah, the Colbert thing.
Yeah, and so they're trying to come up with. Although there are some pretty good nominees. Grill is a nominee.
As in all up in my grill.
Yeah, well, as in it's the removable mouthpiece that's filled with jewels that a lot of rap stars wear.
Oh right, okay, yeah.
You know that's a grill. Crackberry Addict is one. Anchor Baby, that's one of my favorites.
What is Anchor Baby?
It's a child born in this country to illegal immigrants.
I like that.
Yeah,
one.
That's one of my favorites. You know, what else is there? Ecosexual.
What is ego? Hold on, I should try to guess some of these. First of all, Crackberry is very 2003.
Yeah,
that's too old. Grill, even that's a little old. Anchor Baby is good though.
Yeah.
Ecosexual.
Ecosexual.
Sarah, ecosexual. Any guess?
I don't have a clue. Do you?
Not that I can say on the air. They're all perverse. I have nothing.
An ecosexual, let me tell you.
Yeah, I give up.
It's someone who chooses who they will date based on the other person's green habits. If you have a hybrid car and recycled cans, I'll take you out for dinner.
Oh, I see. Well, because that is a sort of a refinement of an already, I think, acknowledged syndrome, which is...
Another one of my favorites that seems to happen quite a bit in some networks, not this one.
Of course.
7,000-mile screwdriver.
7,000-mile screwdriver. No, I got nothing.
It's the micromanagement of a situation from afar.
I wouldn't know anything about that either.
Yeah.
In no way would I have any knowledge of that situation.
Nope.
That is not a thing.
Never get calls about things about anything. Nope. Never get emails saying, what the hell was that?
You don't ever get caustic phone calls from someone, perhaps in Atlanta, who maybe wants to weigh in and meddle with the genius that is the Rick Emerson-Jim Roop connection.
You mean who, someone who would call and say, can't you get 48 miles in 3 minutes?
Hey, by the way, speaking of crazy, I got this email from a listener, Tom. He says, maybe she's a lesbian and maybe she's crazy, but find a photo of Anne Heche's legs and you will flip. He says, I swear to God, they're perfect. So there you go.
You know, I can see that, too.
Well, because crazy chicks, that's sort of God's punishment. Is the crazy chicks are always hot, and hot chicks are always crazy.
Yeah.
So, all right. And so forth. All right. Well, I think we've really broken every journalistic can we possibly can here. I don't really know that there's any lower we could go.
Then my day is done.
Fantastic. Your work is done, my friend. You have accomplished your mission with flying colors for this week. Big plans for the weekend?
No big. Well, yeah, I have to lay a flagstone patio in my backyard.
My friend, that's the kind of work that you don't mind putting in, though. All right. Enjoy your weekend.
I'll be able to sit there with a beer on it the next day.
Because you got the help of Jack Daniels, as the man says.
That's right, baby.
All right.
Me and old granddad and Jack Daniels.
Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Sir.
Jim Roop, CNN Radio Correspondent Extraordinaire. Fantastic. I dig that guy. All right. All right, back after this. The Rick Emerson Show continues. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth around the corner later on Scott Daly. Don't go anywhere. So not only is Lars Larson apparently spending a lot of time today talking about men's bathroom habits as regards the leavings of various liquids around the bathroom, we have this. Rick, I don't know how you always get the jump on everybody, but you should know that Coin6 used the phrase single back on the news last night regarding Justin Timberlake. Well, it's what I do. 503-733-2970. Rick, about your car and seat replacement. How rad would it be to drive around in your 4Runner sitting on a hippity hop? Or maybe a fitball? Or a giant beanbag? I think as long as it's attached to the floor, I think they have to let me...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure as long as you can strap yourself in.
That's what I'm saying. There you go. Well, really, at this point, why would I even bother buying seats for this? I mean, how much is it... I'm asking a room full of people who have no idea.
Yeah, folding lawn chair?
That's what I'm saying. Why? Did you look up seats on Craigslist?
I tried, but there weren't any parts for seats. It was just people giving out rewards for their stolen Toyotas. And I'm not kidding.
I hate my life.
Stolen 1982 Toyota $500 reward.
F that.
Wow.
I don't even care. I don't care. I'm not spending any money to put seats back into that. Whoever buys it next is just going to have to... They're going to have to handle that particular hurdle themselves. Screw that. I no longer care. I'm not putting one...
Or an ejection seat.
I didn't...
Well, you can push a button by remote control.
That's a great idea. I wonder if that would be illegal. If I equipped the car with some sort of remote control incendiary device. If it vanishes, I press the button.
You get away with it in Iraq.
You just see like a little flare on the horizon. Have you seen, well, in South America, which is always the model for how things ought to be done. Mm-hmm. We'll take your calls here and then we'll do the news. We got Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio coming up in the next hour. I got a single from Wing, a new Wing song we'll play. No, in South America, where life is cheap and where the law is lax, I saw a great news report, this was years ago. They were talking about an anti-theft device on a car that was very popular. I don't think you could buy it in stores, but there was like, as there always is in places like that, there was a guy chewing on a stubby cigar somewhere in a garage who talked like this and said, "What is it you want to do with your car, senor?" And the great thing is, for X dollars, he would put like a really loud siren on there. For a few dollars more, as Clint Eastwood would say, he would make it so your car would give off a little zap, a little, you know, like it would kind of sort of shock you. If somebody would try to steal it, they would come up and... I think there was actually another, like you could actually pay him a little more money and it would say like, it would do the Ed 209, like, "You step away from the car." Like it would do that. But if you were willing to give the guy like $15,000, if you had a luxury automobile, you could actually equip the car with just little flamethrower jets right underneath the underside of the doors. And it would warn you to get away. Like, if you tried to jimmy the lock, it would say, like, you know, "You just step away from the automobile." And it would give you 3 seconds, and then just flame would just start pouring out of the side. And I saw the greatest demonstration where they just showed the car. It was on camera. they show the car in a parking lot in the middle of the frame, and then from out of the frame, you just see like a mannequin fly into the frame against the car, and immediately up in, which is just so satisfying, just up in smoke. And I can't even tell you how much I would pay to have that facility. All right, for the love of God, here's the news.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Mountains that kill. This time it's Monmouth Meadows. Now it's not a tourist. It is a skier who met his fate.
Oh.
He was reportedly involved in a collision with another person. That other person did not stop.
Oh.
So that's what happened when you go skiing. It's not a fun type of thing.
I guess there really is. There's no follow-up on that. I don't ski. I have never skied.
I don't like it.
Oh, I have never gone large.
It just hurts. It hurts, and it's scary going on the ski lift.
It terrifies
me. Trapped in. I remember standing on the top of mountains, being like, I can't believe I'm up here and I have to get down.
I don't understand. And again, I'm not trying to be contrarian. I think a lot of people think that I just say I don't like stuff just to be obstinate. That's not really the case.
You really don't like anything.
No, it's true.
And you're being truthful.
I hate it all. I hate almost everyone and everything. Nouns of all varieties.
And how you feel.
I know people will say it's because I've never done it, but I don't understand. Like, I have, skiing holds no appeal to me. None. It just seems terrifying and a thing that I would almost certainly be killed at. I mean, I know that there are people who enjoy it, and I'm not saying they don't enjoy it. Clearly they do. I just lack whatever gene that is. The idea of standing on the top of a snow-covered hill and plummeting downward and not being able to stop and going about 10,000 miles an hour through some trees, that doesn't spell fun to me, because I would be bonoed. I would die. I would go into a tree or another person, or I would break a leg, or I wouldn't even die. I'd just be crippled. I would just be some guy having to blow into a tube to take a whiz for the rest of my life, trying to get into the bathroom, and that's no fun.
It's one of those things I wish that I liked, because I have so many friends who love going up and snowboarding, and they all go together and have the greatest time. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's not for me. It's not for the... Not for me or for anybody. No, sir.
Meanwhile, Arnold Schwarzenegger has been re-sworn in to California's highest office. This is his second term, number one.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is...
Duties upon which I am about to enter.
The duties upon which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations,
Governor.
Thank you. That's all he had to say.
Okay, there we go. Done and done.
He says he's not a liberal or a conservative. He doesn't have one ideology to solve California's problems.
Centrist does not mean weak. It does not mean watered down or warmed over. It means well-balanced and well-grounded.
Now, whatever you say.
A Moorhead, Minnesota man has died from huffing gasoline. Deputy Bob said the body of 23-year-old Rick Peck was found yesterday in his garage, and he had been breathing in gasoline fumes for a cheap high.
He had no intention of hurting himself other than by ingesting the fumes.
Okay, I'll take creepiest deputy voice ever for $1,000, Alex.
He had no intention of hurting himself other than by ingesting the fumes.
Kids, you should not smoke.
All right, that's totally what that is. That's like some sort of law-bought 5,000 right there.
Well, let's have some of those wonderfully written Friday afternoon stories. Do you have a round hound? Too much flab on your lab? Is your husky, well, a little bit too husky? Well, a new drug might provide some help. The government this afternoon approved the first drug for obese canines. Ain't that America? It's called Slentrol. The drug is aimed at helping fat findos shed extra pounds. It's only for dogs, not for humans, so don't even try it.
You know that somebody will, but that's the great thing about this. It's a matter of days till some fat ass in Gresham decides to shovel down a bunch of dog medicine, see what it does.
Mm-hmm. She thought she'd get rid of those red spandex after all. It didn't happen.
Not going
to
work.
20% of American dogs are considered obese. It has to stop.
No, my dog actually... never mind. I'm going to stop right now. I'm not going to get off the whole dog thing.
We want some heartwarming dog stories.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. All right. Meanwhile, longtime game shows Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Who knew they were still on? They're not going anywhere. Where would they go? CBS has announced that both programs will extend for 2 more years, meaning the Wheel and Jeopardy will be on the air till at least 2012. How do they figure that out math-wise, with 2 more years to 2012? By then, Wheel will be on television for 29 years, Jeopardy, 28. Wheel of Fortune is still hosted by Pat Sajak and Vanna White. I wonder what she looks like these days. It averages 46 million viewers a week. Imagine that.
The answer is that Vanna White looks like Clyde. The other thing is, when I was in, we were in the Christmas vacation in Seattle, we watched The Price is Right. We were just like, laying there, we were too lazy to... Too lazy, and I don't want to talk about this a lot, but we couldn't figure out the remote control for the, which makes you feel instantly old. We actually had to. There was this embarrassing moment.
Oh, was it a satellite TV?
It wasn't even a satellite. Well, I don't think so. I mean, it was just
those
like
are really common.
It was like a hotel TV, but you know how the hotel TVs are, where you. We were staying at a kind of a nice hotel, and but the trade-off when you're staying at a nice hotel is you don't, like, if you stay at a Motel 6, you just turn on the TV and there it is. Turn on the TV, it's like a faucet. Turn it on, there it goes. There's Channel 5, there's Channel 9. You turn on a television at any sort of a, but I think it's a bell curve, because if you're at a really expensive hotel, again, you just get a really nice TV that works simply. If you are at some sort of a middle-class hotel where it's a kind of nice but not great, you turn it on and immediately it's a menu. And it's like a whole lot of press 5 for video games, press 6 for pornography, press 7 for a rubdown. And you just Lara kept punching all the buttons. She goes, I just want to, where's the watch TV button? I don't understand. And at one point she actually called the front desk. And she called down to the front desk and was asking them how to watch television. And the person at the front desk didn't even know. Finally, the person at the front desk said, I don't know, I just turned it off. And so we just turned it off. Later, we came in, and it was just playing, so we think the maid was watching it. The point is, we sat and watched The Price is Right. The maid had apparently just been sacked out, taking a snooze, watching television in our room, rummaging through our medicines. But we're watching the Price is Right, and man, first of all, Bob Barker at some point, he's like Dick Clark, where he didn't age, bam, I'm old! And suddenly, he's all gray-haired, he's just like one big wrinkled, covered in fur. And they were bringing people on and doing The Price is Right thing, and I realized that, when is he retiring? Did we know it's like a year or something?
Yeah.
That's like that Carson thing, where I gotta get down there and get that show seen before he retires. Either that's gonna be the end of an era. So... Rick, this email says, I have had 3 cars stolen. Not the same one 3 times, but 3 different cars. Having said that, milk crates make great driver's seats. They're the right height and can easily be zip-tied to the existing seat rail. Thanks for making me relive the experience every 3 months. Jason, this is my life. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, he's been voted the sexiest man alive, but George Clooney wants to give his friends a chance to earn the sizzling title as well. George has reportedly made a wager with Brad Pitt and Matt Damon to lose the Sexiest Man Alive 2007 title. The good German actor currently holds the prestigious title awarded by People magazine and has made a bet with 2 friends that none of the trio will be awarded the honor. A source tells a Scotland's Daily Record newspaper the Sexiest Man thing has become a real in-joke for George, Brad, and Matt. George is making things interesting, and if any of them win it, they have to pay up. George has no intention of losing. He's even thinking of putting on weight and growing a beard again.
See, that's the thing about George Clooney is he's such a likable guy, because if anybody else did that, you would hate him. If anybody else was in the news talking about how he really didn't want to win the sexiest, I'm so tired of being sexiest man alive, me and all my equally stunning and dazzling friends, we're going to take great steps to make sure that you'd hate that guy. You'd be all about the F him. So the fact that he can do that and get away with it, that really is a mark of how of the charisma that guy has.
He's 45 years old and has won the title on 2 other occasions, as has Brad Pitt and Matt Damon.
Fantastic. Matt Damon! That's a law. You have to do it now.
Well, the president has revealed a policy change during a visit by the German leader Angela Merkel. No more back rubs. He raised eyebrows last July at the G8 summit in Russia when he walked up behind the seated Mrs. Merkel and briefly massaged her shoulders.
Oh, God, I remember that, too.
She threw up her arms and grimaced and smiled.
You ever seen that video of George Bush? Doing?
Oh, yeah.
Was she the prime minister or the president or something? What is she?
She is the prime minister.
Of Germany?
Germany.
Yeah.
And Germans don't like to be touched. Unless it's, you know, with a leather strap and you got a mask on. Yes.
Nothing. Anywho, so there she was sitting at the table, and George Bush is at the table. She's the prime minister. And George Bush comes up behind, I'm going to give you a back rub. And just immediately begins kneading her shoulders. I'm surprised you didn't see that.
No.
Oh, it's all over YouTube. I
can't watch him on anything. Oh, he just infuriates me. I never watch those.
You want to watch this, though. And the best thing is that she has no idea. She didn't see it coming. And so she's sitting there going, I am a head of state, and we are the blah, 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 just, you know, whatever. And then George Bush just comes up behind her, and You don't know what the thought process is in his head. Like, you would never do that to anybody else. Like, imagine just...
So she's talking, and he gets up out of his chair and starts rubbing
her?
He
just comes up behind her and begins giving her, like, a slow shoulder massage. And you can see... And she does, like, a whole... And Tim's right. Like, the Germans are a very... The Germans are a hands-off kind of people, yes. Really, unless you are manacled to a wall and you're having your junk beaten with a rubber hose.
Right. They like it rough.
Yeah, they... That's the official consensus of the news department at CBS Radio.
Well, their history.
Germans like it rough.
That's their history, really.
It's true. Their history is...
They don't like to be kneaded. They like to be beaten. Well, they were a tough group of people.
No, I understand. You don't have to explain to me. Oh, makes perceive right there. Sarah's watching it right there. It was playing in it was like double time for some reason. If you go to YouTube, what did you search? What was the phrase you searched?
Bush massaging Merkel.
Yeah, see, the video you're watching is it's playing in double time. But she's sitting there at this sort of round table, and Bush walks up behind her and begins giving her like a back rub, and she throws up her arms as though she's been tased by something. It's all kinds of awkward, and it is moments like that when you really are just horrified. It's like when his father vomited on that guy from Japan. Right there. And she just does kind of a whole, ha! She's still terrified by it. Yeah, it's fantastic. All right. Let's do one more. Then we'll do news that hurts. Then we'll break. We'll come back with Scott Dallin.
All righty. Well, you probably didn't realize it, but next week you might just be at the beginning of something new for your pocket or purse. Rumors are flying in cyberspace and Apple Computer is set to introduce a new iPod that won't just deliver music and videos. It'll take phone calls as well. For months, blogs and technology people have been buzzing that Steve Jobs and the company will unveil a new phone/video/music device earlier this year. With the company's annual expo about to begin, anticipation is high. It seems that most Apple watchers that this month's Macworld Expo, which is scheduled to run January 8th through the 12th in San Francisco, will be the perfect stage in which you introduce this device because the Conclave has nearly always delivered an innovation at this annual event.
Now, see, that's those are famous events too, because Steve Jobs, who has all kinds of style, probably more style than anybody else in the tech industry, he's developed this famous gimmick of doing this whole thing where he does a big presentation about the new items coming out, and then he has this famous moment where he goes, "Oh, and one last thing," and then he always unveils like some Heliocraft or some crafted Apple. And the thing is, Sarah and I have the same MP3 player, and it still works, it's fine, but I mean, you know, I'm looking around to see if there's something, you know, something new or something smaller, something whatever.
My friend just got one of those Zune things.
Now, the Zune is crap, though. It's,
really?
It's not crap. I shouldn't say that. It's not crap. It's not crap. I don't want to dismiss it.
It is not crap.
It's not. It likes to be beaten with a steel dildo. The thing is, when you say that, when you made that remark about Germans liking to be flogged by all, when you say that, all I can picture is this.
Well, I'm giving out correct information.
I know you are, but all I'm saying is
people thinking of visiting that fine country.
Just take a stutter.
I mean, it's more than people doing folk dances in short pants.
It's all when you say that, though, I just immediately flash in this one really horrific German porn that I saw, and it was just. It really wasn't. I mean, you think American porn, and you think of whatever, like, "Hi, the hot water's out of my apartment. I have to use yours," or "I'm here to deliver a pizza and some sexin," you know, or whatever. But you look at the German porn. South Park really doesn't exaggerate it. There really is something very wrong with Germans.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what they can survive and still smile.
And it really, I mean, it was like a guy tied to a wall, and it was a woman with like a bunch of D-cell batteries tied to the end of a chain, and she was like whipping his junk with it. It really wasn't easy, like, feels good, wham, you know, it's like, it was a whole lot of, and then like another, and it was like, then the gimp from Pulp Fiction walks into the room, and then it was a whole lot of like, yeah,
I mean, it makes you wonder how this country continues to operate in a business-like manner every day.
And then there was a scene where the guy's laying on his stomach. He's not even nude. That's the thing about it. Most of the scenes, there was actual no nudity involved. I just remember seeing a scene where there was, you mentioned the mask, and there was a guy laying. He was wearing leather underwear. Leather underwear and boots of some kind, no shirt, laying on his stomach on the ground, and a woman wearing a big leather mask with a, not a zipper, a simulated phallus protruding from the mask.
What?
Dumping ground glass on his back and then jumping up and down on it in like big hobnailed stilettos. Like big pieces of glass on his back, and then she gets on top and it's just, ugh. It was like some full-on... Yeah, and then the phallus is... Yeah, it was a whole lot of Jim Rose.
Time to take a break. It's dinner time.
And it was like the opening sequence. They weren't even halfway in. That was like sort of... That was just the overture. We've gone horribly astray somewhere.
Maybe we should break.
What was I talking about?
Germans.
Well, look, at least their pornography isn't filled with tentacles. I mean, that's what I can say about that. That's the big compliment. You know, that blue book about ethnic tolerance really didn't have the desired effect. I believe it had some sort of opposite effect on us.
Well, none of these things are mentioned.
Maybe this will be the upcoming issue. No, we really ought to create our own. Wait, hold on. Let's see. Blank people love tentacle porn. Okay, there you go. Blanks love to be beaten by women wearing leather masks to which are affixed big dildos. Okay. Oh, and we're breaking. Well, anyway.
There's nowhere you can go. And you're
I was going to talk about the Zune,
no.
But there's really no segue there. We'll come back with Scott Daly and News That Hurts, plus more from Tim Riley and his many musings about Germany. Stay there, it's the Rick Emerson Show.